Hi, this is Jim from Safety Wars. Before we start the program, I want to make sure everyone understands that we often talk about OSHA and EPA citations, along with some other regulatory actions from other agencies, legal cases, and criminal activity. Everyone is innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Proposed fines are exactly that, and they are often litigated, reduced, or vacated. We use available public records, news accounts, and press releases. We cannot warranty or guarantee the details of any of the stories we share, since we are not directly involved with these stories, at least not most of the time. Enjoy the show.
This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
And from the border of liberty and prosperity in the highway to the north, this is Safety Wars for Tuesday, September 24th, 2024. You are getting me for 2 days in a row. Isn't that interesting? So, just to reiterate, you know, this is a show that we talk about safety, and we talk about things, press releases, news, events in the news, whatever pretty much interests me that particular day. Then we try to stick to safety and environmental issues, and everyone's innocent until proven guilty. Any types of fines or anything, often they are litigated, they are vacated, they are negotiated, all whatever E-D word you want to use, right? Litigated. Vacated. Not the other one. Anyway. Lighten up. Was like, very serious. Everyone's so serious nowadays. Now, and one of the reasons why I've laid off the whole politics thing is that people, and my mouse is not working. No, everyone's so serious. Why are they so serious? I know it's hard sometimes. Life is hard. We're getting a lot of stuff out there with a lot of issues out there with people having, they're all anxious over the election. They're anxious over the economy. And it, as I always remind people, you are being programmed. You are being marketed to. So, you go on the news site, guess what? They have you tagged. And let's say you look up gardening news. Right, and you're interested in gardening. What do you see? You see all these ads about gardening for the next 2 weeks. They're monitoring your phone conversations, and this is not a conspiracy theory. No, so I have a Samsung monitor here. When you get and it's basically a TV, well, a smart TV. And when you're, and Samsung specifically had a warning, hey, we're listening to you. We're doing this. We're doing that a couple of years ago on that. I haven't heard too much about it recently. And it's along the lines of, right, for some reason, my wireless mouse went dead. It's along the lines of, they want to market you. They want to manipulate you in some way. And you're thinking, well, it's free. The ads are free. If the ads are free, you're the one that is the product. You are the product. So what Samsung was doing, allegedly, was selling your information for advertising dollars. Right? So now a company in China that knows that you like silverware, and they sell silverware, they're going to be marketing that to you. The news is the same thing. This is called what we used to call it was self-radicalization. Back in the early 2000s, I don't think they still use it, but in a little bit different context, where you go onto a site, and it could be a political site, and you get confirmation bias, where all that you hear is people advocating for your point of view, backing up your point of view. And this has gone on for time immemorial. I had a dear friend when I lived in Hoboken. All that she heard was news from the left. All that she hung out with was people on the left. She was an activist in Weehawken, New Jersey. And any of our my friends from Weehawken and Hoboken know who I'm talking about. And that's all that she heard. It never occurred to her that there was a different point of view out there, a different way of looking at things. One of the signs of intelligence is, and you're listening to Jessica, listen, Jessica, my daughter's right there. One of the signs of intelligence is if you could explain your opponent's or the other person's point of view better than that person. And if you could do that, you could do that. So she, my friend, worked for a very well-known social club in New York City. I'm not going to mention the name. And who worked there? Who belonged there? Captains of industry? Getty was one of them. Was a frequent there? You know, yes, the Getty, the oil people. All right. Energy executives, very high-level politicians, and everything else, all that they ever heard was, saw was, these people coming in there, they're so decadent on a Saturday night. They have these big decadent parties. She was an event and meeting planner like my wife. They're doing this, they're doing that, and it's ridiculous, and all this decadence. Well, they were on the other side of the aisle from her, from politically. So now all of a sudden, that's all that she's seeing. Now all of a sudden, guess what? That's all that she knows. Same thing with if you surround yourself with, and this is what got MAGA into trouble in 2020, and it may get them into trouble now. All that we know, all anybody who I talk to, no one's going to vote for this candidate. And this candidate, blah, 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 blah. And then what it turns out, you lose the election. Why? Because you didn't go out there and see objective data and everything else that was going on. And believe me, there were shenanigans there. All you have to do is be involved in Jersey politics and know all the shenanigans. What happened to President Trump when they switched candidates? That was like New Jersey politics 101 there. So you spend all your time going after the other candidate, then the other candidate drops out. Now what are you going to talk about? After the election, we're going to go into this a little bit more, regardless of how this turns out. Because regardless of where you are politically, 2024 election basically is over at this point. I'm not saying don't vote. I'm not saying don't campaign. I'm not saying anything like that. But we need to be focused, both parties, what's going on in 2028 here. Kamala Harris wins, and obviously she's going to be 2028. Now you got to start thinking about 2032 and the midterms in 2026. And we get that. But Republican Party, you don't have a clear leader here, as far as I'm concerned, unless it's someone in the background and someone that they're going to promote is the other thing, promote and build up. But I'm not really seeing that. But what's going on is, well, I've seen this all over social media. Oh, well, this is what this is. This is what this is. And this candidate sucks. And this candidate is wonderful. And this candidate blah, 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 blah. And you go down one side. Oh, this candidate is great. You go down the other. And it's nuts. And this is why people are stressed out. The race for 2028 is going to be, they're going to start running it regardless of who wins on January 1st. 2025, even before the inauguration. If we get lucky, it's going to happen after the inauguration. But that's what's going to happen. Who should be the ones worrying about 2028 here? It should be the people in the leadership positions, jockeying for position, building things up. Now, this is what you need to do. You need to educate your own voter in these situations, which neither political party wants to do. You hear on one end, and it's like puppets. I should have out the puppets today. Oh, this person is wonderful. Oh, this person's horrible. This person wonderful. That person horrible. Going back and forth. And we get involved with this within the safety field. One of the comments that I was getting this past weekend when, I did the presentation for you folks yesterday was, I got a comment today was, we never heard of that there was a different definition of safety. Well, when you immerse yourself and your employer is invested in the safety is zero accidents, zero incidents, zero illnesses, and this drive to zero, and then all of a sudden when there's an accident, your management isn't mature enough. Yeah, they're not mature enough to see, why was that accident there? And what do they do? Oh, shame on you, shame on you, shame on you. You can see where people have, and that's where the incentive is on their end for a whole host of reasons, liability as well as HR reasons and safety incentives and safety bonus reasons. You can see that. That's push versus the other end, the hop, where safety is controls, safeguards, resiliency, right? All of that goes into that. Resiliency, your ability to react, your ability to do stuff, and in the disaster preparation field, the ability to learn new skills. I'll throw that in there. That's it, that's all goes in there. They've never heard of that. So this is one of the reasons why safety has a bad name with everything. It's very antagonistic, the old traditional way. We're trying to get away from that. So big story in the southeastern United States today is Hurricane Helene. Let's do a share screen here. I have ready.gov up for everybody here. Here we go. And you know what? Before we do that, let's go into, I'm getting prompted here. Let us go into a commercial break. And here, hold on.
In the professional safety community, communication and planning are just a few keys to your program's success. The question many practitioners have is, where do I start? Dr. Jay Allen, the creator of the Safety FM platform and host of the Rated R Safety Show, has built a global foundation to help you along the way. Go to safetyfm.com and listen to some of the industry's best and most involved professionals, including Blaine Hoffman with the Safety Pro, Sam Goodman with the Hop Nerd, Sheldon Primus with the Safety Consultant, Jim Pozell with Safety Wars, Emily Elrod with Unapologetically Bold, and many others. As individuals, we can do great things, but as a team, we become amazing. Dial into safetyfm.com today and surround yourself with a powerful force of knowledge and support.
In an unpredictable world, one voice rises above the chaos. Meet Jim Pozell, a seasoned safety expert who's navigated through some of the most dangerous scenarios, from anthrax, explosive cleanups, disasters, and numerous environmental cleanups, and lived to tell the tale. Now he's bringing his wealth of knowledge, insights, and experiences to you through Safety Wars. From workplace hazards to the hidden dangers in your own home, Jim covers it all with his engaging storytelling. Safety Wars isn't just a podcast. It's your guide to a safer world. Join Jim Pozell and become part of the Safety Wars revolution. Available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts and videos. Safety Wars. Your safety is our mission.
I'm sure you've heard the news. Safety training is evolving, and you should be too. Outdated safety training isn't just boring, it's dangerous. If your safety trainer is still preaching a warped version of behavior-based safety from 25 years ago, it's time for a change. Imagine safety training that actually addresses the hazards unique to your workplace. No more generic, one-size-fits-all solutions. The Safety Wars team at SafetyWars.com is here to revolutionize how you approach safety with customized training that's relevant, engaging, and effective. Contact Jim Polzel at 845-269-5772. Remember, if you're receiving this message, you are the solution to unsafe workplaces. Say goodbye to outdated safety training and hello to a safer, more productive environment. Visit SafetyWars.com now.
OSHA recordables, catastrophic losses, environmental disasters. You want answers? So do I. This is Jim Polzel with Safety Wars.
That's my daddy!
Yes, I am your father. So I got some new music here. Hold on. New music meaning about 250 years old. Yes, we're going to be talking about hurricane preparedness here, because we're going to have Hurricane Helene coming in here and touching ground here. It's a tropical storm now. What you're listening to is royalty-free, and it's the Antonin Dvorak Symphony No. 9, royalty-free. It sounded like Jaws, I know. It sounded like Jaws. Maybe it was inspired by Jaws, or Jaws was inspired by it. But anyway, what they're talking about is within the next 48 hours, it's going to make landfall, even though as a tropical storm, as a this and that. And now you're at your critical point, 48 hours. You have to have decisions to make. One of them is your... Have your preparedness things been, are they complete? Do I have to go running around at the last minute for our ubiquitous bread, eggs, vanilla extract, and syrup, right, to make your French toast out there, and all your toilet paper and everything sort of thing. Now, I imagine that most people will not be evacuating with this one, especially if it's a tropical storm, but you got to be aware of what's going on here. And if you're going to be I tell you what, if it were me, I'd be evacuating and getting the hell out, making sure everything is all secured and as much as it could be, because after what happened recently, it really sucks what goes on out there. Now, it really sucks. We remember Captiva Island last year, where and outside of Fort Myers, Florida, on the west coast of Florida, which we're familiar with here on the program because we went on vacation there one year. My wife was doing an event, and I decided to meet her down there with my son, who was 18 months old, and I said, never again. Will I go on playing with an 18-month-old? He screamed the entire time. But anyway, I digress. So what people are talking about here is with this. We know the stuff. What to be ready for, right? What to be ready for, right? Not a coastal problem. It goes in, right? You have rain, wind, tornadoes. You got to have an emergency plan, and for everywhere you're going, keep your cell phone charged. This is all from Ready.gov. Check with neighbors and senior adults, right, and everything else. And here it says, right, stay informed. This is where that AM radio, and there's been developments with AM radio bill in Congress this week, right? With that, that's where that comes in. Where it becomes important with that. Dealing with what? Determine how to best protect yourself from high winds and flooding. And it might be evacuating, going to a storm shelter or something like that, go to the highest level of the building. I know during Katrina in 2005, I think it was, people got trapped in their house. They couldn't get out, and they did not have good results. Do not walk, swim, or drive through floodwaters. How many cars got destroyed, especially up here? We have a huge issue. Every time that there's a storm, we have people driving through puddles of water that I don't know how deep are. And even if it's not that deep, you can still do damage, even to electric cars, right? It shorts them out. Protective clothing. If you got to walk through, this might be a good time where you have latex boots to keep your feet dry, or polypropylene boots, neoprene boots, something like that. Do not touch electrical equipment if it is wet or you're standing in water. Right? Do not wade in flood water, which can contain dangerous pathogens that cause illness. Especially if you have a chronic illness like diabetes, not such a good idea to be wading through water that you don't know is clean or dirty. And the big thing is, document any property damage with photographs. Back in 2012, when we were dealing with Superstorm Sandy, we had, and that's basically, go to radio.gov hurricanes. We had a neighbor, Lenny, very, very prominent person in the Orthodox Jewish community in Rockland County here. Really great guy. I mean, really nice guy. His wife was named Helena, I believe, right? Same as the storm. But anyway, they very nice people. If you wanted a neighbor, you wanted a neighbor like Lenny, I tell you. I get a knock on the door, right? So Katrina comes in around 8 o'clock, 8 p.m., in Rockland County. I was living on the border of New Jersey, thus the moniker, the border of liberty and prosperity, right? We were living there, and that's, it came in about 8 o'clock, and we lost power almost immediately after 8 o'clock. So we're in there, and you know, I got the radio going, and I got my son, he was a toddler. I outfitted him. Somewhere I got the video of him with a headlamp on, crawling around the floor and everything else. It was pretty cute. And I get a knock on the door. Hey, Jimmy, it's Lenny. I said, oh, hey, Lenny, what's going on? A tree fell on my house. I got my wife out. She had to crawl through all of this debris and everything in the dark to get out. We're going to be taking her. We're going to be going on over to a hotel before they all load up. Can you please handle the, we call the fire department. They're going to be here. Can you just handle everything for me? I know, blah, blah, blah. As Lenny, for you, no problem. So I went over with my wife, and my wife's staying at home. I went over there. I had the police scanner going on and knew when the fire department were going to be there. Those were the days where you didn't have trunk systems back in 2012 here. And I go over, and we used to handle things, and it took him about a year and a half to recover from that because they had to rebuild his house. And he sold the house. Got a great offer. But anyway, that's how that worked out. He went, and he stayed in a hotel, and then once everything cleared out, he came back a couple of days later, and I had already had photographed the house. I got his permission to go in the house. We photographed things, photographed damage. I wrote down a list of everything that was there, what went on. And over the course of the year and a half, we developed a pretty nice friendship on top of what we already had, because while he had the means to stay at, he was a snowbird, what they call him, he was down in Florida. And while his house is being rebuilt, and he'd come up periodically to check on progress, and I would send him photographs every week of the house and things of that nature. And no, great guy. We had a great relationship there. But what were the photographs for? The photographs were for the insurance company. So one of the things is, if you have an insurance loss, you want to file a claim, you have to have proof of what it was. So this is where it comes into receipts, photographs, writing down serial numbers, things of that nature. So you are able to document what was going on. The other thing is this. Here we have this issue with flooding in the basements. Your sump pumps run on electric, so in the event of that you might get flooding, you got to make sure that those sump pumps are hooked into a generator or something else. Another important thing. So all of this gets done ahead of time. You have to go out, and that's for the whole thing. It's disaster preparedness is planning. You have to plan things out. Have written instructions on things. Because guess what? People are freaking out. They're not going to be thinking clearly all the time. So yeah, just like in the workplace at home, you have written instructions. That's all I have today on hurricanes and our disaster preparedness stuff, as far as that's concerned. Now, they've already started evacuating parts of Florida, and they don't know whether it's going to go northwest or southeast, northwest through New Orleans or New Orleans, if you're from down there, or southeast to Miami, that area, southern Florida. Oh, we'll see what happens here, and, you know, with that. And let's not forget about creature comforts. That was one of the questions here. Creature comforts. I said, if I was going to stay in place, the first thing I would do is make sure all the dishes are clean, make sure that all the clothes are washed, and make sure that everyone takes a shower, because you may not have water, pardon me, for a couple of days. I got the hiccups now. And let's go right to a commercial break, and we will, okay, we want something fun, right? Okay.
This is going to blow your mind. There's a new daytime talk show on your local cable access station. What happens when safety, scandal, and heartbreak collide? Welcome to Safety Wars, the talk show. Today's episode is a doozy. Imagine confronting your unsafe supervisor who just happens to be your ex-wife's new hubby. Talk about a powder keg. But wait, there's more. We've got an exclusive interview with a corporate exec who's taken out life insurance policies on his riskiest workers, hoping to cash in on a deadly mishap. Yup, you heard that right. It's a real-life plot twist you can't make up. Tune in as Jim Posel, CSP, our very own Jerry Springer of Safety, dives deep into this explosive confrontation. Sparks will fly and secrets will be exposed. Catch the full episode on Safety Wars on YouTube and your favorite podcast platform. Don't miss out on the drama that could save your life. Like and share now, and stay safe, folks.
From the front lines of the safety war, it's Safety Wars with your host, Jim Posel on Safety FM. Get ready to face the harsh reality.
Okay, you know, we're going to go into this. I know a little bit off topic, but we're going to still talk about it. It's still about emergency response. So here we have, all new cars should be required to have an AM radio, says the U.S. House. This is from the article for off of TechSpot. Congress is deliberating whether to require new vehicles to include AM radio. I wrote, and I encouraged everybody at the time to write their congressperson on this, or senator. A technology that many auto manufacturers consider outdated and that consumers are increasingly abandoning in favor of digital streaming. However, there are arguments for its inclusion, such as its role as a communication tool during emergencies. If this bill passes, it would represent a significant shift in both auto regulation and radio broadcasting. The House Energy and Commerce Committee has approved a bill requiring all new vehicles to include AM radio. Now all known as the AM for Every Vehicle Act, the legislation passed with a 45-2 vote in committee and is now moving on to the full House. Again, one of the reasons why, and this was actually occurred in my 1994 Chevy pickup back in the day, where there was something wrong with the radio and the entire car would pick up electronic buzzes from the engine. Actually had to get a new radio for that. But what's happening is, if you, let's say, have an electric car and you get computerized with all the computers and everything else and the smart cars and everything, they and what happens is the radios can't get reception. So some of the cars are saying, rather than dealing with unending problems for AM radio issues and everything else, we're just going to abandon AM radio rather than putting shielding and filters and everything else that goes on that. Some countries, I believe up in Sweden was one of them, one of those countries up there, they got rid of radios. They're just going to streaming network. Again, AM radio is critical for everything. So as far as the emergency alert system here goes, that's one where we had a public test a couple of years ago, last year, and then in 2021, and every 3 years by law they have to do a test checking everything out on that. That includes the AM radio and everything else. Now I'm going to go, I forget how many, so if you look into, this, I'm looking on the FEMA.gov website, and I just had this up here and I closed it out. Shame on me. Here we go. Local radio and TV stations, along with cable, direct broadcast satellite, and wireless service providers, disseminate public safety messages they receive from IPAWS. And IPAWS is the Integrated Public Alert and Warning System. In many cases, radio and TV stations continue to operate when other means of alerting the public are unavailable, providing a layer of resilience to the suite of available emergency communication tools. It says here, click Emergency Alert Participants. All right. So, emergency alert system. Let me do a share screen on this for the people watching on video. I know you like looking at me, but, you know, I'm sorry. We gotta... All right, so emergency AAS participants are our nation's radio and TV broadcasters. We already said that. In January... in 2012, the FCC announced its fifth report in order to clarify FCC rules. And let's see. And this just goes on with stuff, conformity, some, you know, stuff that we don't ever need to know about. And participants. Okay. So, this is, and let me share this. Hold on. So, here we have state, territorial, tribal, local level. So, you have the alerting authorities, all right? Federal authorities, state agencies, territorial agencies, tribal governments. If you're looking at this on video or listening in on this, you have a whole thing here, diagram, a flow chart on how this is open. So authorities originate a message internally, right? And then it's posted to an IPAWS, right? IPAWS open aggregator, and it verifies everything, and then it goes into the emergency alert system, EAS, which is the computers, the wireless emergency alerts, which is the cell phones, NOAA weather radio on the radio, internet-based services, and unique future technologies. This is how they're planning this out. So it's pretty it's important here because there's something like 100 different radio stations that are participating in the emergency alert system. And hold on here. they had a list up here before I got on the show. I canceled it out. Let's go. I'm going to... Hold on. Sorry about this. Hold on.
In a world where danger lurks in every corner, one man stands as a beacon of hope. Jim Posel, a veteran safety expert with over 3 decades of experience, now bringing his knowledge to you with Safety Wars. Engaging, informative, and always relevant. That's Safety Wars. Join the safety revolution with Safety Wars, available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts and videos.
I'm sure you've heard the news. Safety training is evolving, and you should be too. Outdated safety training isn't just boring, it's dangerous. If your safety trainer is still preaching a warped version of behavior-based safety from 25 years ago, it's time for a change. Imagine safety training that actually addresses the hazards unique to your workplace. No more generic, one-size-fits-all solutions. The Safety Wars team at SafetyWars.com is here to revolutionize how you approach safety with customized training that's relevant, engaging, and effective. Contact Jim Polzel at 845-269-5772. Remember, if you're receiving this message, you are the solution to unsafe workplaces. Say goodbye to outdated safety training and hello to a safer, more productive environment. Visit SafetyWars.com now.
In a world where danger lurks in every corner, one man stands as a beacon of hope. Jim Posel, a veteran safety expert with over 3 decades of experience, now bringing his knowledge to you with Safety Wars. Engaging, informative, and always relevant. That's Safety Wars. Join the safety revolution with Safety Wars, available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts and videos.
Okay, here we go. We got the information here. All right, and I'm going to do a share screen here. I had this. Believe me, I had this, and it got, I closed it out by accident here. Very frustrating. More frustrating for you because you're watching this Wuvno show here. So here we have, and this is from FEMA.gov, and this is from the Integrated Public Alert Warning System. This is the list of radio stations here that are the primary entry points. So often this gets rebroadcast on what are called translators or repeaters. There's a difference. I'm not going to get into that. And gets transported out, right? Gets broadcast. So here, let's look up the area. Let's say New York. So we have call sign WABC, New York, state New York and New Jersey, right? City New York, New Jersey. It's this whole area. It actually goes, I've gotten it as far west as Lexington, Kentucky, WABC, when the atmospheric conditions are right. And I've also gotten, as a 50,000-watt station, I've also gotten 50,000-watt stations in northern New Jersey, Sussex County, that is far west as Washington State. So AM does carry, again, the right weather conditions and everything. Let's say Florida. So here we have Florida. We have out of Miami, Maitland, and Jacksonville, all on the AM band. Are there any FM bands here? Yeah. Here we have one out of the 77 stations. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 stations on the FM band around the country. Again, doesn't go that far. Now, can the other stations go in there and broadcast? Yes, my understanding is yes, but the primary entry point is through the AM radio stations right now. Well, Jim, they can change it. Blah, 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 blah. AM, much longer range than FM has a tendency. So you can reach potentially more people. Now, during our emergencies here, everything comes over the AM radio. Everyone's glued to it. Or, well, what if the TV stations are knocked out? Most people do not have the old-fashioned antennas. for the televisions. They have DirecTV, they have cable, they have Starlink in some locations. I know people who are in the middle of nowhere, they have Starlink. They have any, and I'm not endorsing anything. They have no, that's what they have. So guess what? Internet goes down. One of the first things to go, no radio, no TV. I have a VHF antenna, portable one that I use, and can I get some stations? Yeah, it works okay. But you talk to people. Portable antenna, you mean like rabbit ears? Yeah, well, they're a little bit more advanced now. But essentially, it works on the same principle. Again, it's VHF radio. VHF on the TV, it's line of sight, VHF. VHF, what the hell is VHF? I say that to my kid, VHF, what is that, Dad? Or use UHF, ultra high frequency, which is above channel 13 on the TV. And I think they knocked out 13 to 20, now it's only 20 or above UHF. But whatever. What my point is this, is that people don't even have that capacity. And what's safety adding capacity and resiliency? Right? So TV goes out, we go to the VHF antenna, we go to the radios with that. And again, people go stir crazy. We had that out here recently with a internet outage here where we were able to get wireless, but not in my neighborhood. Forget about it. No cell phones work in my neighborhood. Again, how are you going to plan for this? Let's go on over to our regular news with OSHA.gov. And again, I'm just going to show you navigation. We go over the news. And I'm like the only guy that actually reads these things, I feel like. 2024, September. And we have 9/23/2024, OSHA trade release. U.S. Department of Labor seeks nominations for membership on Federal Advisory Council on Occupational Safety and Health. What's that about? U.S. Department of Labor seeks nominations, right, on this. The U.S. Department of Labor is seeking nominations for one agency man or four labor representatives of federal employees on the Federal Advisory Council. You're not, the nominations are there now, beginning January 1st, 2025 to December 31st, 2027 is the term. Look on the webpage more information on how to submit nominations here. And let's head on over to the EPA. Right, and we have EPA announced as 2024 Safer Choice Partner of the Year Award winners. Today is September 24th. The U.S. EPA announced a 43 Safer Choice Partner of the Year Award winners across 20 states and the District of Columbia, recognizing their achievements in the design, manufacture, promotion, selection, and use of cleaners, detergents, and other products. The Safer Choice Program and Label Help consumers and purchasers at facilities find cleaning and other products with chemical ingredients that are safer. So this is the old substitution thing on the hierarchy of controls, where you have a dangerous thing and you're substituting it for a less dangerous thing. With that. So we have innovation in safer chemistry, safer ingredients, products improving access, and here is an extensive list of winners. Let's see if we have this. American Cleaning Institute, Apple, I imagine that's the computers. Blue Land, New York, Bona, U.S., Inglewood, Colorado. And I'm seeing anything else that I see here that I recognize. Okay, Sozio, a local company here in Piscataway. That's in New Jersey. So you can always tell how good the economy is doing based on the amount of traffic that goes through Piscataway on Route 287. That's what I've always used. It's a good physical barometer how the economy is doing. A lot of traffic, good economy. No traffic, bad economy. And you can measure it in miles at that point. Mm-hmm. EPA issues a national requirement to protect U.S. waterways from pollutants discharged by vessels. Today, September 24th, the U.S. EPA announced the finalization of national discharge standards to control the release of pollutants and invasive species from approximately 85,000 vessels operating in U.S. waters. These standards, issued through EPA's Vessel Incidental Discharge National Standards of Performance Final Rule, address discharges that occur with the normal operation of large vessels. EPA's final rule will help address harmful pollutants, including bacteria, pathogens, oil, grease, and metals, while reducing the spread of invasive species that can damage ecosystems and infrastructures. I tell you what, we have community I'm a member of, we're having a huge issue with the invasive species. Specifically milfoil, right? I remember in the 80s growing up on that lake in northern New Jersey. The water was unswimmable because we had milfoil in there, and they finally got it under control, but it's been a nightmare to contend with. In areas like Lake George, they couldn't contend with it. So what they did was they put a liner in an oil tank or like in a pool or right at the bottom of some of the little bays there to control the milfoil, basically to suffocate it. And it's like when you jump in the water and you go down and you touch the bottom, it's like a liner. There's like a pool. That was their way of handling it. Unfortunately, you knock out the milfoil, but everything else along with it goes, right? Plants and animals and fishies. Clean water and healthy aquatic ecosystems provide multiple benefits to nearby communities. They support commerce and commercial fishing, and they serve as sources of drinking water, and they connect people to nature, going on and on. On that, the Congress passed the Incidental Discharge Act to harmonize the patchwork of U.S. Coast Guard, EPA, and Safe Vessel Incidental Discharge Permits and Regulations. So this was like a stopgap here. EPA proposes settlements with Paramount Builders and Continental Transport over illegal discharges on the Tula and Niue coast. This is in Pago Pago, American Samoa, right? That's in the Pacific. U.S. EPA has announced proposed settlement agreements with Paramount Builders Incorporated and Continental Transport Corporation over Clean Water Act violations on Tutulia Island, American Samoa. Under proposed agreements, the companies would pay a combined $76,000 for illegal discharges into Niue and Tula coastal waters and a mail stream. Construction companies must comply with environmental laws that protect their streams and coastlines from unlawful dumping. And it goes on and on and on. Under proposed settlement, Paramount Builders would pay $50,000 fine for these violations, going on and on and on. And, you know, what's the big thing in these tropical environments? It's coral here. Do we have coral up here in the Northeast? The answer is yes, but it's not these big coral reefs. They're smaller coral here, is my understanding. I'm digging way back into college. Okay, hold on. I have another meeting after this. Yes, on the air. On the air till 9. I hate it. All right, EPA announced its partnership with City of Three Rivers, Michigan, to accelerate they're placed from the lead water pipes. I find, and there's other things like Muskegon Heights in Michigan, and they're also doing this in several northern New Jersey communities here. Kind of hard to believe that we're still dealing with lead pipes. I mean, on my parents' house that we just sold earlier this year, I had nothing to do with it. But anyway, the lead pipes were all the drainage pipes or lead pipes, so into the sewer system. And I believe that those were one of our listeners here. All likely replaced, and they remodeled the house just now. But that, you know, that was what was in there. But to get lead servicing in here into, you know, and in Michigan, this has been a big problem over the last couple of years because, again, they elect people who don't know about the environment, and they are put them in charge of regulating the environment and making decisions. And this is where the problem is. When I was running, one of the things why people voted for me and was me and Chris Daggett were on the same line, and they didn't know where else to put me. Chris Daggett was running for governor. I was running for assembly. The reason why we were on that was we were like the environmental candidates. We cross-promoted and everything else. Chris Daggett was the former head, one of the former heads of state of New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection, and at that time is Environmental Protection and Energy. We were all with that, and we have huge environmental issues here with this. And I'll say this again, going back, the Republicans could go and co-opt all these issues if they choose to, but they don't. Consuming lead in drinking water can cause serious health impacts, including irreversible harm to brain development in children. To protect children and families, the Biden-Harris administration's bipartisan infrastructure law invests a historic $15 billion to replace lead pipes and deliver clean and safe drinking water, including nearly $62 million from Michigan alone. I believe the former governor got criminally convicted for not managing this correctly. Going on, what is this? This is a legitimate concern for environmental justice, because usually underserved, historically lesser privileged communities are the ones where they never replace the lead pipes. Just the way it is, folks, you know, with this. But again, this is one of the good things the government is doing, is replacing these lead pipes. All different announcements here on different cleanups, cleanups here and everything else throughout the nation. So that's what we have going on here. Let's head on over to U.S. Department of Labor press releases. Yeah, this is how we do it. It's all here. News release, Department of Labor. All right, now. This is the whole thing. Now, if you are a consultant and you are getting new and you get pulled in on, especially with a situation with, there's a government investigation or anything, my first question is, how are you paying your employees? Are you paying employees? Paying employees as independent contractors, or are you paying them as salaried employees, because they changed the salaried employees laws recently, or if you're not making over a certain amount of money, you have to be paid hourly. Or are they regular employees? How are you paying them? Because I guess what? OSHA does go and they often investigate this, and they suspect that you're not paying your employees properly, and they can get wrapped into one of these many press releases we get where they are going through and, catching them not paying their employees properly, and then end up getting having to pay them the money that they're owed, plus fines, plus double the damages. So you short your employee by $30,000, you're paying $60,000 and probably another $10,000 on top of that. With that, for $70,000. Why do companies do this? To get around OSHA regulations. They're trying to be cute, as the saying goes. U.S. Department of Labor today announced publication of AI and Inclusive Hiring Framework, a new tool designed to support the inclusive use of artificial intelligence and employers' hiring technology and the increased benefits of disabled job seekers. Published by the Partnership on Employment and Accessible Technology, the framework will help employers reduce the risks of creating unintentional forms of discrimination, barriers to accessibility as they implement this stuff. Hiring. I know with AI, I do use a lot of AI for certain things here, but what happened is this. AI is being used by some companies or some software to find out if they are being discriminatory in their hiring practices with this, right? So, again, that often happens, and it's only going to expand. I see people put, they receive a letter, they take it, they scan it, they put it into Dex, they put it into AI, or they write a letter and they put it into AI. How does this sound? Well, it sounds like you're not nice. It sounds like this. It sounds discriminatory, what you're writing. Right, so among the, and this is from the whitehouse.gov, the blueprint for an AI Bill of Rights, and it gives you a blueprint here. So, boom, boom, boom. You should be protected from unsafe and ineffective systems, right? When you should not face discrimination by algorithms, and systems should be used and designed in an equitable way. You should be protected from abusive data practices via built-in protections, and you should have an agent. You should have agency, meaning control over how data is about you is being used, and you should know that an automated system is being used and understand how and why it contributes to impacts that impact you and human alternatives. You should be able to opt out where appropriate and have access to a person who can quickly consider and remedy problems, and applying the blueprint for an AI Bill of Rights. While many of the concerns addressed in this framework derive from the use of AI, the technical capabilities and specific definitions of systems change with the speed of innovation and their potential harm. Thus, the framework uses a two-part test to determine what systems are in the scope. This framework applies to automated systems that have the potential to, to meaningfully impact the American public's rights and opportunities. So, check it out. I mean, what was this? This was a, not an executive order. This is like, you know, starting the conversation kind of this sort of thing for Congress or for whoever to, courts or whoever else to pick up on it. It's a good thing. I mean, in Europe, some of the countries have a right to be forgotten sort of thing, where you say something stupid on social media, why are you bringing this up 30 years later? I think some of the candidates are a little bit embarrassed with some of the things that they've been doing. Shame on them. And look at the candidates that are running today that were involved, that we haven't spoken about it, with the Sean Diddy Combs, right, who's in prison there, right, for doing very shameful things with a lot of people, A-listers. He's like another Epstein thing. I'm waiting for him, right? I'm waiting for the new meme, and I hope he lives to that. I'm waiting for a new meme to be about him, with this joking around about this, but it's not no joking matter here with what he did allegedly. So that's all I got for tonight. I'm going to kick it on over for our outro, and the listener who texted me, I will be coming on to your dealing with you in a minute. So have a great night. I hope to be here on Thursday. Tomorrow night's Out of the Question.
Hey. The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the host and its guest and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the company. Examples of analysis discussed within this podcast are only examples. They should not be utilized in the real world as the only solution available, as they are based only on very limited and dated open source information. Assumptions made within this analysis are not reflective of the position of the company. No part of this podcast may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means, mechanical, electronic, recording, or otherwise, without prior written permission of the creator of the podcast, Jay Allen.